Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we have Thursday night people again, Lord. Not Sunday morning people, Thursday night people, because they're hungry for more of you. Lord, you told me a long time ago that those that are hungry shall be filled. Lord, I thank you now for the anointing upon your word. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the making my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I might speak forth the oracles of God with boldness and simplicity that's easy to understand. Father, I thank you for anointing the ears of the people. If they only hear me, Lord, they're not going to be helped. But Lord, I pray that they hear your voice through me tonight. Lord, give them what they need. Break the bread of the word, Lord, and minister your life to every person right in the situation that they're in right now. Father, I thank you and I praise you. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that is here. Whatever he wants to do, that's exactly what we're going to do. Father, for all of these things, we give you praise in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. This is a... Now, do not pass these on. They're complete already, okay? Let me get one set. Here. Take about half of these. Okay, you can pass them on like that, but it better not. Here. Let's just do it like this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There you go. Tonight we're going to be talking about the covenants of promise. Covenants of promise. How many knows that we are in a better covenant established on better promises than what they even had in the Old Testament? Come on in, Lila and David. Hallelujah. Let's see. Okay, here we go. Well, I hope I made enough of these. Here you go, Bill. Betty. They've got one back there y'all can bring in, and it looks like an empty chair over there. Sean, you going to see if there's any more out there?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay.
No.
Lila, there you go.
Just take the chair and they'll find it.
Hallelujah.
We'll be done. You've got
it. Yeah, there's two sheets. Yeah, two sheets. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those that are listening by tape, we keep having people come in. So, some more coming yet, so praise the Lord. Everybody believe for a bigger house. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In fact, this situation ties right in with what we're going to be talking about tonight, which is the covenants of promise. Did I miss anybody? Does everybody have a handout? And Nathan, since you're right by the door, anybody that comes, if we got some more come in, would you give that to them? Hallelujah. Let's start off by reading this first verse that's on the lesson page. Ephesians 2:12. This is one of the saddest verses in all of the Bible. But it's also, one reason it's so sad, I lived right here for so many years before I knew Jesus. And Paul is writing a letter to these Ephesians Christians who used to not be saved. Now they are. And so he says to him, he says, at that time, before they got saved, he says, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and here's the phrase, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Everyone say, no hope.
No hope.
And without God, say that, in the world. Now, is that a sad verse or what? And I'm telling you, for the most part, the whole world is still exactly in that situation. Hi, Sandy Kay. Hi, Tina. How y'all doing? Come on in. How many of y'all can relate before you got saved? Without Christ, strangers to the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world. That's why we all try and fill that emptiness with something. How many of you tried to fill it with booze? I did. women, I did. Some people, Some people, you know, some people do it with good things, you know. Hobbies. Some people get all wrapped up in their hobbies because it helps things pass, you know, and keeps them occupied so they don't. But and hobbies aren't bad, you know. Some people get involved in gambling and all kinds of things, but it's all trying to fill that hopelessness that's on the inside. I like the way somebody put it one time that said, you know, God makes every person with a Jesus-made hole on the inside of them, and you can try and fill it with anything you want to, but nothing is ever going to fill that space but the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read a little bit of this first paragraph. This is one of the saddest verses in the Bible. To be without hope and without God in the world. All unbelievers are in this condition. They are excluded from the covenants of promise. They have no access into the grace of God because they have nothing to bargain with. Now get this. God demands perfection in righteousness in order to qualify for His blessings. Now that's the last time they need to go in or out. Okay? Since all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, mankind cannot even approach the throne to ask for the Father's blessing. That is why mankind needed a substitute, a Savior. Jesus, the Son of God, came as a man and perfectly obeyed the Father. He was perfectly sinless and the only one qualified to receive all of the blessings of the Father. He became mankind's substitute, paid the full price and penalty for sin. Then after He was raised from the dead, He turned around and gave His righteous standing to all who would receive Him as their Savior and Lord. Now, when born-again Gentiles, like Louis, approach the... like all of us. How many of y'all were born physically a Jew? Physically. No, we don't have... in this particular room, we don't. See, we're all Gentiles. All of us are in the same place as these Ephesians here. Okay? Now, when born-again Gentiles approach the throne of the Father, they have free access to Him because they are accounted perfectly righteous with the righteousness of Christ. Andy, is that good news or what? That's why the accuser has a real hard time bringing any case against you before God. See, he can't do it before God because God knows it's the blood that makes you righteous. But guess who he does have some success with getting you to believe you're not righteous? You. He's trying to convince you that you're a slimy dog worm. And he's had a lot of help from preachers. He's had a lot of help from a lot of preachers saying, "Nah, you know you're no good. You know you're no good, Sean. You know what you did." God, I did not intend. You know, I really did. I just now connected. But the Lord's got a message for you. When they pull your file, the accuser comes and says, "You got to be kidding. Sean, come to the throne and obtain help from God. Do you know Sean? I know Sean." And they start giving all this list of stuff. But see, what they don't know is every day, Sean dies. Do y'all know? You know, Paul says, "I die daily." We're going to talk about that in a minute. You know, every day. How many of y'all love the scripture that said the Lord's mercies are new every morning? Hallelujah. That's shouting ground right there. So every morning when Sean gets up, he says, "Father, I just want to tell you again how much I love you. I thank you so much for the blood of your Son. It cleanses me from all unrighteousness." And if Sean did do anything the day before, he says, "Father, I confess it as sin. Forgive me, Lord. Cleanse me by the blood." And as soon as he does that, he dies. That old man dies. And Sean is a new man in Christ Jesus. And the devil brings his list of accusations. Now, he might get it to work on Sean, unless Sean knows the truth. But if the devil tries to approach the Father with that list of stuff, the Father says, bring me Sean's file. And I know I've said this before. They bring the file up. They open it up. No, the man that you're talking about died. Man, there's nothing here on this man. He's brand new. In fact, since this morning, all of his past, all we see in this file is blood. There's nothing there but blood. So he's brand new in Christ. There's absolutely nothing that would keep him from being able to come to the throne. Now, that applies to every single person in here. I'm telling you, even Bill. Hallelujah. I mean, imagine that. Bill. Oh, I'm sorry. Hallelujah. And here's a verse just to back it up, in case the devil ever really starts bombarding your head, telling you you're not worthy to go get help from God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He hath made Him, talking about Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That is why Paul could say to these born-again Ephesian Gentile believers, Ephesians 2:13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh or near. How, doctor? How? By your good works? By doing everything correctly? By faithful attendance even to Thursday night Bible study? Although I hesitate to say that one. I'm teasing. Everyone say after me, by the blood. Only by the blood. My hope is in the blood. My faith is in the blood. The blood is everything. Without the blood, I have no hope. I'm without Christ and without God in the world. Thank God for the blood. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah for that blood. Glory to God. You're about to have that running fit again, you know. Amen. Ephesians 3:6. Now here's the thing. See, Paul's assignment from Jesus, like my assignment is to teach Thursday night Bible study, Paul's assignment from the Lord, what his job was, he was to go all over that part of the world to the Gentiles, people that were not born Jewish, and tell them this. Here's what he's supposed to tell them, Ephesians 3:6, that you, Gentiles, should be fellow heirs. Everyone say fellow heirs. Say not sub heirs. Fellow heirs. Equal heirs. And of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Hallelujah. Now, bold letters. All of the covenants of promise belong to us. We are fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promises. Amen. Is that shouting ground or what? But now, here's the sad part, y'all. Here's the sad part. The sad part is, see, everything I just said is true. Can I get a witness? We got any dissenters in here? Everybody believe what I said? Now, here's the sad part. Most Christians, though, even though that's really the case with them, as far as God's concerned, they're ignorant of what the covenants of promise are. Ignorant of it. Lots of people that are truly born again, love the Lord, serve the Lord, die of cancer all the time because no one ever told them about the covenant of promise regarding healing. That's a covenant of promise. But look up here. Look at the first verse again. At that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise. Now, at one time, you were excluded from the covenants of promise, right? They're available to you now, but if you don't know it and know how to act on them to receive them, for all practical purposes, you're still a stranger to the covenants of promise. And they won't do anything for you because it is by faith, it is through grace, by faith, that everything from God is received. For example, you could have that person that was dying of cancer that's been born again for 30 years, served faithfully in the church, loved the Lord, paid their tithes, done everything they knew to do, but just nobody ever told them. Nobody ever told them that, don't you know that by His stripes you were healed? Himself bore your sicknesses and carried your diseases and you don't have to have them anymore? And I remember the first time I heard it, and I was raised in church, and the first time I heard that, I was in my 30s. I'd never heard anything like that before. We all knew God could heal. I mean, God could do anything, right? But that's a whole lot different than a covenant of healing. That's signed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. That's a whole lot different than a covenant. A covenant you can believe for, right? Okay, now, always remember, I always have to say this in Norval's voice. Y'all ready? God doesn't bless ignorance. My brothers and sisters, He doesn't either. Now let me ask you a question. We would like to think that the gospel works like this. All of us would like to think this. Well, you know, that lady you were talking about that's dying of the cancer, God loves her, doesn't He, Gary? Yes. Jesus died for her, didn't He? Yes. God wouldn't let her just die of cancer, would He? Just because she doesn't know about her covenant? Well, let me ask you guys, what do y'all think?
Yes.
He absolutely will, won't He? Absolutely. It happens every day. If you don't believe it, talk to Dr. George. He's always involved with several cases just like that. Good people love the Lord. No doubt they're going to heaven. But they've never been taught the covenant. That same, and I always start with that one because everybody can relate to that. But now here's the thing. We have covenants of promise in every area of life. Healing is just one of them. How about my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? How about for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for our sake He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich. How about that for a covenant of promise, see? But God loves me. I don't have to understand that covenant, and I don't have to do anything or act on that. God will just send me money anyway, won't He, Dr. George? Won't He? No, He won't either. It'll be the same thing with you like the lady that's got the cancer. You can't be a stranger to the covenants of promise. They're there. They're available. Well, let me ask you. Okay, here's the simplest one of all. Is salvation for everybody?
Yes.
Is God willing that any should perish? Absolutely not. So salvation, that covenant of promise is available for anybody. Do they have to act on it?
Yes.
Absolutely they have to act on it, right? Okay. So in the same way that a person has to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord to be saved, in that same way, they have to exercise faith in the covenant of healing, the fact that Jesus bore those stripes on His back, and start receiving that covenant of healing, not be a stranger to it anymore. And I mean, sometimes, even after I started hearing it, I'd been taught against that kind of stuff for so long. That's what the Bible calls strongholds. I had strongholds in me. Not only was it taught that way, you know, but it's false doctrine. But everything I'd seen with my natural eyes seemed to contradict it. I'd never seen God heal anybody of cancer, you know, when I first started hearing that. Had you, Sandy?
Yeah, me.
You? Well, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Sandy says, yeah, me. Well, hallelujah. I'll go for that. Hallelujah.
My last test, and it was negative two.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, but the same thing applies on the covenant of prosperity. See, that's the thing. We don't want to be strangers from any part of the covenants of promise. Now, let me go on here just a little bit. But God does not bless ignorance. That's why we send preachers. First, let's think about salvation for a minute. The Bible says, how shall they hear without a preacher? First it says, how can they believe in Him whom they've never heard of? Right? In Romans chapter 10. How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? Okay? So, in the same way that we send preachers to explain the covenant of salvation to people so that they can have faith, and then act on it to be born again in that same way. See, tonight he sent me as a messenger to preach these other covenants as well, because everyone in here that I know of is already saved. You're already born again. How many of y'all could use more of that covenant in your prosperity areas? How many of you are wanting to do bigger things for God than you're doing right now? I saw a thing on television today that Benny Hinn had Reinhard Bonnke on there. God has given Reinhard a vision for sending this salvation booklet to every household in the world. And right now he's concentrating on America and Canada. 170 million homes. They've got fantastic prices on this. It costs them 80 cents per home. That's pretty good, counting the postage and everything. But still yet, that's $120 million. How many of y'all would like to sow some big-time seed into a project like that? They've already done that with England. They've already done that project with England, and they got 70,000 decisions for Christ. 70,000. Man, I want to sow into that field.
How many did they sow in in England, do you know?
I don't remember. They told, and I've got it on tape if you want to see it. But
it was a lot. I was at the meeting. Mm-hmm. I've got information on that if anybody wants to give me. Yeah.
But isn't that a project of God? I mean, isn't that something? Boy, I'd like to. So all of us could use more prosperity, if for no other reason than to send it to Reinhardt. I mean, if you've got more money than you can possibly use already, and you know, and everything. See, that's really what God intended. I don't know if y'all know that or not. That's the whole deal. The reason Jesus said all that in Matthew 6 about take no thought about what you'll eat, what you'll wear, what you'll drink, what you'll put on, is not your life more than meat and your life and your, you know, the body more than raiment? The whole point of that was, you're not on this earth to spend your whole lifetime strictly concerned with trying to get your own needs met. My plan for you is much bigger than that. You're in the kingdom now. We have work to do. You're my body on the earth, basically, is what Jesus is saying. Can we get past that stuff? Get past that where you know your Father is taking care of you so we can go about saving the lost, getting the sick healed, feeding the poor, clothing the naked, that type of thing. That's what Jesus was really saying. He'd like for us to graduate in the financial realm as well as any other to the point. The time we spend about... Do y'all think Jesus went about worrying about his own needs getting met? I still remember the day. I was minding my own business in here, walking the floor. And it was during a time when we were... My natural circumstances was not agreeing with the Word, okay? You understand what I mean by that? My bills were behind. Okay, I'll be more blunt. But I'm walking through here just doing what God told me. My God shall supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh, I thank You, Lord, that you give unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. The young lions do hunger and suffer lack, but those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. You see me seeking You, don't you, Lord? I'm seeking You, hallelujah. I do not lack any good thing. And all the while, I got overdue bills in there, you know. I got to agree with something. I'd rather agree with the Word. Okay? You know? And I'm doing this. But still, you know, and in my heart, I'm getting stronger in faith. Every time I say it, I'm getting stronger and stronger. I can feel it coming into me. But my mind is giving me all kinds of trouble. How many of y'all know the battleground is for the mind? My mind is going, how are you going to pay them bills? I had visions of Sue and I and her sister sleeping in this warehouse that we have over here on West 41st, you know. I was going, oh, you know, my mind, you know. Don't doubt in your heart. I can tell you right now, you can have faith in your heart and your mind to be full of doubts. Okay, there's a big difference there. But boy, I mean, all these visions, and I just kept saying it. Anyway, and the thing of it is, I had learned not to be a stranger to that covenant of promise. You see what I'm saying? It was in there. One day I was just minding my business, doing that and praying in the Holy Ghost, and then the Holy Spirit said, He just said to me, He said, Jesus, in His physical body, while in His physical body on the earth, never had this attitude. He never worried about how His needs were going to get met. That was not something that even entered His mind. And when He said that, I'm going, I got a long ways to go. You know, because at that time, really, even though I was fighting the war, I was really consumed with how are we going to pay the bills and how's the money going to come. And y'all have heard our testimony. You know, we were out there a ways, you know. And my mind was consumed with that. And when He told me that, I'm going, I got a long ways to go, you know. Which, by the way, I want you to give you mind to give your testimony? Well, in fact, let's just do that right now. I said last week to Tammy, I think it's on the tape, twice during the service, I looked at her and I said, you're going to give your testimony next week. And you could tell with her little eyes, see how pretty your eyes are tonight? You know? Now, last week they were still pretty, but when you've known Tammy as long as I have, I could tell there was a few doubts in her head. I mean, you were kind of under the gun last week, right? Okay, you wouldn't mind to stand up and get a little closer to the microphone?
The people that have heard the tapes know that we had to find a place to move by the 15th. And it was last week? Like the 13th?
13th,
just a few days before the 15th. And we had tried to find houses. We went through a rental service, everything we could think of to do. We drove all over, everywhere. And we couldn't find anything. And we thought, well, we'll try to get a loan to buy the house that we're in. And that day of Bible study, we had found out that our loan didn't go through. And so here it was just a couple of days before the 15th. We wasn't going to be able to buy the house. As far as I knew, we had to move by the 15th. Well, the very next morning after Bible study.
Did you have any visions of living in the van or anything?
Oh, yeah. I was thinking, boy, I was so on fire a couple of weeks ago, and I said, if I'm out on the corner, I'm still going to be praising God. And at that point, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be praising God or not, you know. But that very next morning, my landlady called. I was at the beauty shop. She tracked me down and called and asked how the loan was going. I told her it didn't go through, and I was expecting, well, you know, I've given you this long, because we were supposed to originally be out by the 1st. And instead, she said, well, I've got good news. You don't have to move after all.
Hallelujah.
And it wasn't quite the way I expected the Lord to work, but he does take what the devil means for bad and turn it to good. This man had gotten some lady pregnant and had to move in with her. So that wasn't the way I expected God to do it. But
hey, I never try and figure out how God's going to do it. I'm telling you, that's a lost cause. Just know God's going to do it. There's no God's going to do it. Hallelujah. He takes the situations, and he's the one that makes his word come to pass. But now I'll tell you what I know. I've known Tammy a long time, and I've been watching her and Randy ever since they started Bible study a little over a year ago. I want to give you a grade. They ask me every now and then, are you going to give us a test? Well, no, but since you've got a good one, I'm going to give you this one. The number one thing I noticed Thursday night, you could see it in her eyes. She was worried big time, and they just got bad news that day. She kept her beautiful little mouth shut.
And it's hard.
Now, the Tammy I knew a year ago would have been in here, oh, my God, I don't know what, where are we going to live? How are we going to make it? And, oh, God, right? But now, she wasn't to where she was, quoting the word and spouting it, but she'd already done that before. I'd heard her do that weeks before. She'd been quoting the word. But at least, sometimes the best thing you can do is keep your mouth shut. Y'all remember when Jairus came to Jesus? He wanted Jesus to come and lay his hands on his daughter that she could be healed. And after he'd already said that, then that woman with the issue of blood came up, and y'all know that whole story there. And then just as that ended, the servants of Jairus came and said, your daughter's dead. Don't trouble the master any further. And you remember what Jesus said? He didn't give Jairus a chance to say a word. He says, Jairus, only believe. Do you notice Jairus did not say a word? It was not necessary. He'd already spoken his desire. Come lay your hands on my daughter, that she may live. Nothing else needed to be said. You see? Tammy had already spoken. I'd heard her. Yeah, anybody around here heard her. That was our God supplies all of our needs. We're, this and that. And yes, I'll be praising God no matter what. And at least then, when she got the really bad report, no, you're not getting a loan. Your daughter's dead. Same kind of a deal, right? And at least she didn't say anything else. She just let it ride based on what she's been saying before. Thank God for that. So that's real improvement, and I think she deserves a hand myself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The word works. Everyone say with me, the word works.
Word.
Every time.
Anytime.
For anybody.
Who will do it?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Works
100% of the time.
For
everybody. Because God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Tammy, he'll do for me. What he did for Jairus, he'll do for me. Or anybody who'll do it. Hallelujah. It's good preaching, Gary. Thank you very much. Hallelujah. Now, let me start this. Okay, see all the bold letters? Let's start right below that. The sad part is, though, most Christians are ignorant of what the covenants of promise are. Always remember, God does not bless ignorance. Now get this. If we could just get this sentence right here. God's mind has already been made up. About what? About your healing. About your prosperity. about your peace of mind, about your marriage, about your job. His mind has already been made up in all of those areas. The price for you to be blessed in every single one of those areas has already been paid for in full by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible has already been written. Have y'all noticed it doesn't change daily?
Right.
It does not change, right?
Right?
Now, the reports change,
right,
but the Bible does not. Hallelujah. Now, see, most of us, most Christians, are waiting for God to bless them. I find myself, I have to watch myself. I don't get into that mode. Waiting for God to bless me. Look at the next sentence. No, God is waiting. God's doing the waiting. He's waiting for His children to enter into the blessings that have already been given to them 2,000 years ago by the blood sacrifice of Jesus. Well, how do you enter into those blessings? You enter into those blessings by knowing what your covenants of promise are, believing them, and acting like they're yours. That process is called faith. Now, what is the main difference between our covenant and the covenant of the Old Testament? If I asked that, I'd get a lot of answers in here. Some, and it'd all be true. Some would say, well, the Old Covenant was by works, and the New Covenant is by grace. Amen. No problem with that, right? The Old Covenant was based on our obedience. The New Covenant really is based on the Lord's obedience, right? But the Old Covenant was based on a man living out his righteousness. And the New Covenant is based on the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ as our substitute. We could give all those kinds of things, but I want to give you the Lord's definition. This is the Lord's definition. When He was defining a New Covenant, and we're going to look at it, this was the prophet Jeremiah hundreds of years before the Lord Jesus Christ, but he saw it coming. Jeremiah 31, verses 33 and 34. This shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. And I don't have time to teach this tonight, but let me just pause for a minute. Listen, when he says that whole thing that we read up there earlier about the Gentiles now being fellow heirs, anytime you find a promise in the Old Testament to Israel, that's us. That's what Paul, that's what that whole deal to the Ephesians was about. He said, no, the covenant used to be just with Israel and you guys were excluded. But now the covenant includes the Gentiles and you are included if you're born again. That's the whole point of what we talked about there earlier, okay? So, you could say, but this shall be the covenant that I will make with believers. How's that? Okay? After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now get this. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Now, y'all might, when I was preparing this lesson, I thought, Lord, if I read that, they'll all go home. They'll go, well, what are we doing here? Because basically what I'm doing is know the Lord. Yeah. Isn't that what I'm doing, Andy? Okay. Yeah. All right, now what? They shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, why did he say that about not teaching every man his neighbor? Okay, under the old covenant, you could not be born again. Jesus had not gone to the cross yet. There was no way for a new nature to come on the inside of you. The only people that the Holy Spirit really, the anointed of the Holy Spirit was the prophet, the priest, and the king. Amen? Now, if you were just like us, I don't see any what the world would call priests. We are, but, you know, we don't stand in the office like that or prophets, you know. Okay, I'm not saying that right because we are all of those things. Let me say it another way. Let's do it this way. For the average Joe Blow citizen under the old covenant, if you wanted to learn about God, you had one way and one way only. You had to go to the temple, sit down, and have the priests read to you, the priests and the scribes, and tell you about God. Because you yourself, you had no communication with God. You see what I'm saying? You had to go find out. How many of y'all know that sounds a whole lot like church today, though? That's what everybody's doing. What are y'all doing here tonight? See, the whole point, what he was saying is, it really shouldn't be necessary. It shouldn't be necessary because, see, we are born again. There's a holy of holies on the inside of you. Guess who lives in there? The Holy Spirit Himself. It's the very nature of Jesus. How many knows Jesus said when He, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth has come, He, not Gary Carpenter, He, not Dave Roberson, He, the Holy Spirit, will guide you into all truth. See, it really shouldn't be necessary. Every person in this room has the ability to talk to God yourself and have the Holy Spirit be your teacher. That's why He came. How do I get Him to do that, Brother Gary? First off, God's given us two things. When you went to school, you had a textbook and you had a teacher, right? Guess what? In God's classroom, you got a textbook called the Holy Bible and you got a teacher called the Holy Spirit. You meditate the Word, you study your textbook and you meditate it, and then you talk to your teacher. How do I talk to it? Well, basically, you listen to your teacher. Well, how do I do that? Praying, say this with right after me, praying with other tongues. This isn't on my notes, but if you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 14. And if you go to the prayer center, your Bible ought to just fall open there. 1 Corinthians 14. And verse 2. First Corinthians chapter 14. I'm still hearing pages turn. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit, everyone say, in the Spirit, he speaketh mysteries. Okay, most of y'all that know me very well know I have an engineering degree. I am here to tell you that there was a time when differential equations was a mystery to me. Can I get a witness from anybody? Did you ever take any of the higher math? Was algebra ever a mystery to anybody in here? How about trigonometry? Okay, calculus. Okay, geometry. I'm getting hands going up everywhere for benefit of the tape. Well, I can still remember differential. In fact, I'll go back a few. I flunked trigonometry twice. Now, how's that for a mystery? I mean, I had a textbook, and I had a teacher, and I was working at it. I mean, I wasn't lazing around, and I still flunked it twice. You know, the third time I passed it. Now, trigonometry was a mystery to me, and I needed a teacher and the textbook and a whole lot of meditation. They call that homework. They call that homework. Okay? And it took the third time before I passed that thing. What 1 Corinthians 14, 2 is saying, listen, all these covenants of promise that you would like to walk in, I mean, you know, at least you know they're there now, but for the life of you, you don't really know how to get into God's prosperity. You know it's there, don't you, Andy? You know Jesus paid the price for it, don't you? And you know a few things based on teachers that have told you, you know, you got to give, you know that much. If you heard my tapes, you know you need to confess. You know, things like that. But still, there's parts of it that are mystery to you. There's still parts of it mystery to me. I thank God there's parts of it today that are not a mystery to me that were 2 years ago. But the Holy Spirit has revealed a big portion of those mysteries to me. I say a big portion, it may just be a tiny portion compared to what He's going to teach me coming up. But I know how to get in touch with my teacher. When the Bible calls, okay, God is three, one, we have one God, right? He manifests Himself to us in three ways, right? We got God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. By definition, is Spirit, Spirit? Come on now, this is not a trick. Is Spirit, Spirit? Hallelujah. All right? If you're going to be taught by a spirit, see, God is not a mind. That's what we would like because we're so mental. Okay? Well, okay. I don't mean mental retarded. Okay. What I mean is we're intellectually oriented. We communicate to each other. That's the problem. We're all mental. That's all it is. We like to communicate, you know, we mainly communicate to each other mind to mind, don't we? Mind to mind, intellect to intellect.
George.
Thank you, George. If Daryl and I were having coffee, if we had lunch tomorrow, we're having coffee, we're going to be talking mind to mind. We're going to be speaking words that we both understand. We're going to be talking about situations that we both have common experiences with. And that's the way we communicate. So when we get ready to communicate with God, though, that's the way we'd like to communicate with Him, is mind to mind. There's only one problem with that. God is not a mind. You never find that in the Bible. He has a mind. But God is not a mind. God is a spirit. Okay? He communicates to your spirit. And that verse we just read, it says, when you're speaking in other tongues, your spirit, the real you, the part that's born again, the part that's in the likeness of Jesus Himself, that spirit man is just like you came up, and while you're meditating the Word and praying in other tongues, it's just like you come into the classroom, you sit down, and you say, now, Holy Spirit, Jesus said you were sent to teach me. I'm going to sit here and let you teach me. And you start praying in other tongues. Maybe you're reading a passage in the Bible, you know, that you've never understood, really. And you're just reading, you know, and I'm not going to go through meditation like, no one does a better job than that than Dave, you know, meditating the Word, but praying in other tongues. Now you've got your textbook, and all the time that you're praying in other tongues, your teacher, the Holy Spirit, is right there explaining spirit to spirit these mysteries of the gospel. What mysteries? How in the world to get your healing manifested, if that's what you need. How in the world to get your business off the rocks and into the black, if that's what you need. How in the world to get your kids off of dope, if that's what you need. How in the world to get your marriage problems straightened out. It's a mystery. If it wasn't a mystery, you'd have them straightened out already. Right? Okay? Those are the very things that the Holy Spirit will teach you so that you will no longer be strangers to the covenants of promise. I just heard him say this. Say,
I will become
an expert in the covenants of promise.
Covenants of promise.
How'd you like that for a confession? I just heard the Holy Ghost say that as plain as anything. Do you know it's possible? See, we all kind of relate to that one guy where they brought it, you know, the guy brought his son that the disciples couldn't cast the devil out of, you know. And Jesus came down and he said, what's going on here? And the guy says, well, I brought him to your disciples and they couldn't cast this devil out. So if you can do anything, don't ever say that to Jesus. You know, if you can do anything, please help us. Boy, Jesus, he nipped that in the bud. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now right there, we like to relate to that guy, don't we? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. You know, right? We kind of relate to him. But how would you like to be to the place where you could become an expert believer? The only thing keeping you from being an expert believer is you're not an expert in understanding these covenants of promise. The mysteries. And the Holy Spirit has been sent for the express purpose of training us how to operate in those things. But it's a spirit-to-spirit education. I like, you know, Dave says the same thing I do. He says, teachers, I mean, it's not wrong to come and get together like this, see. But I know, how do I put this? I don't know. I don't know any way to improve on it. There's no way for me to get on the inside of Tammy's spirit and teach her what she's learned in the last year. Isn't that right? You'd come and you'd listen, and teachers are like signposts. And basically, one lesson might be, Tammy, go pray. Go pray, honey, you know. Let the Holy Ghost teach you some stuff. Or one night it might be, you really need to read the Word. It's going to be hard for your teacher to teach you if you don't know the Word that he's trying to teach you. See? It'd be like me going, okay, teach me algebra, but I'm not opening a book. You know? That, how you think that might slow the process down some, I mean, to say the least? And I'm not sure not doing any homework. Well, that's the equivalent of meditation. You think that might slow the thing down some? See? So basically, I can tell you why meditation is good and why you ought to get your Bible out and why you ought to read it and why you ought to pray in tongues and encourage you and have people give testimonies. But I can't do it for you. See? And it's really only the Holy Ghost that's going to be able to get in there and start revealing it to you in a way that is so personal, nobody can take it away from you. See, when you're trying to live on somebody, I tried for years to live on Hagin's revelation and Copeland's revelation. Thank God for those two men. Can I get a witness? I've learned tremendous things from them. And it would work fine until the pressure hit.
Well, what I was sitting here thinking as you was talking, that it doesn't matter how educated you are or how intelligent, because that has nothing to
That's
do
right.
with it. You can be someone who cannot read and write and that has a hard time speaking.
That's right.
And you can learn the things of God through the Holy Spirit the same way that a highly educated person
That's
can.
That's exactly right. I'm going to comment some more on that in just a minute. They're a little rowdy right now. But Tammy was making a real good point. Let me go ahead. I want to emphasize that again. She was saying the same thing that we've said here before. See, it does not matter the level of your education in the natural realm. It really matters how much you understand these mysteries in your spirit. It's a matter of just flat knowing what to do, isn't it? In the spirit realm.
Exactly.
It's just a matter of knowing what to do.
And it takes no intelligence at all. It's just a matter of how if you are applying yourself to what doing
That's it.
a doer of the word,
there it is.
Praying and doing what the word says.
It works.
It works the same as, you know.
How and what percentage of the time will that work?
Always.
100% of the time. Every time. I've never seen it fail. Because the word can't fail. It can't fail. Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
See, I didn't look this scripture up, but one of my favorite scriptures is, it is of grace that it might be by faith. Why? That the promise might be sure to all the seed. That's all of us. See? So it doesn't matter if you're got lots of hair, bald, tall, short, fat, skinny, real intelligent, or not. God says, I'm going to make this so... I mean, I think in God's heart it went something like this. I want to make sure that every one of my children can have every blessing that I have for them. I know what I'll do. This ought to be simple. I'll just make it to where all they got to believe is that I'm not a liar. Surely, that shouldn't be a problem. All they got to believe is that my word is true and they can have every blessing. They can have every blessing. That's why he set it up that way. So we didn't have to be smart. We didn't have to be intelligent or educated, you know. Although those are all good things. The more of that you have, sometimes it's easier for God to use you. I mean, you know, I couldn't have made those sheets for you if I didn't know how to use a computer. So he uses that gift of mine, you know, that education. But the point is, all they got to believe is that I'm not a liar. That my son, really, the blood really is enough. That's all they got to believe. I mean, from God's point of view, it's like, this ought to be easy. We've had a lot of help from preachers making it hard, have we not? Have we not? The more I get into this, the more I see what Paul said, the simplicity that is in Christ. It's really so simple. One of the prophets said, this way of the Lord, this highway of the Lord will be so simple that the wayfaring fool could not err therein. Isn't that good stuff?
Amen.
It is for me, because God one time told me, he said he could get a donkey to do what I do. He told Gerald, you know, but and all God was after for Gerald to do was some of those simple things, you know, like pray, confess my word. And God told him, he says, and Gerald was getting some successes, you know, and that's what you got to be careful of. We start getting some successes. Well, man of faith and power. I know none of you guys have ever, you know, cast out four devils last week. Hallelujah. You know, believed in $100,000 on Tuesday, you know, and whatever, you know. And God, about that time, God will come and take you down a peg or two. He says, I could get a chimpanzee to do what you're doing.
You know, it's not you, it's my spirit. You understand that? Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. You know, he gets you right back real quick. Okay, let's go on to the second page. And I don't know when he's going to let me come back around to this. This whole subject, the covenants of promise, because what I had in mind when he started talking to me about it, I thought I was going to get to talk more about the covenants. But he wanted to talk about the covenant, the main change here. The fact that, really, when it comes right down to it, what if you guys were on a desert island? You couldn't come to Thursday night Bible study. Now are you cut off from God now? Are you like the Old Testament Israel now? You can't ever learn anything more about God? Probably be one of the best things that ever happened. You have no distractions. You have nothing to do but pray in tongues, you know, and quote the word that you know. And you know what would happen if you did that? If God had to send ravens overhead and drop fish for you to eat, He would do it because His word will not return to Him void. If He had to split the rocks on that island and make fresh water come out for you to drink, He would do it if you were standing on the word, because He is not a liar and He does perform His word. Hallelujah. But the whole point is, every person in here needs to have their own intimate, personal relationship with the Lord. And I'm mainly talking about praying in other tongues and meditating the Word. And worship, yes. Okay, now we're on the action page. Now, I want to show you two verses that mean the same thing. And I didn't know it for years. Deuteronomy 8:18 from the Old Testament. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee, power to get wealth, that He may... Why? That He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Now that verse, that's the Old Testament. This verse in the New Testament means exactly the same thing. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, up there he called things wealth. It means the same thing. And you notice the condition in Matthew 6:33 is seek ye first the kingdom. All right, the condition up here in Deuteronomy 8:18, the whole reason for the wealth is that God may establish His covenant in the earth. Both of these verses say the same thing. I like to phrase it like this. God and Sons Incorporated is in the business of establishing the will of the Father on earth. Y'all remember Matthew 6:10? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It is the Father's will to establish His covenant with as many people on the earth as possible. He is only able to do that through the body of Christ. How many of y'all know we're the body of Christ? I got to stop right here for a minute. Something the Lord told me this week. I was studying about the centurion, the one who his servant was sick. And so he sent unto the Lord, and the Lord was going to come to his house. And the servant said, No, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Y'all remember that one? Speak the word only. Now, that, and Jesus, to him, he said that's the greatest faith he had seen. Bar none, that was the greatest faith. Now, let me ask you a question. If that same centurion today... Okay, let me back up just a little bit. What he had to do was get his message to Jesus, right? So that Jesus... In other words, he had to get the message so that Jesus could use his mouth to speak the word. Nothing happened until Jesus spoke, right? If that same centurion today was going to come and find the mouth of Christ, where would he have to go? Where's the mouth of Christ? It's us, isn't it? It's us. And what are we saying? Yeah, it's bad. I agree with you. Our economy's really bad, going under, you know. Do you hear the news today? Inflation's taking off, you know. Stock market fell 50 points, you know. But I'm teasing. I'm just making that up. Okay. I mean, when he found the mouth of Christ, thank God, all only thing that came out was the word only. When people come to the mouth of Christ today, which is us, The Holy Spirit talks this way. Holy Spirit talked. He said to me the other day, I was minding my own business, praying in other tongues. And he said, Jesus is not decapitated, you know. I went, what? Oh, yeah. He said, Jesus is not decapitated. And I'm going, what in the world? And what he said to me, he explained it to me like this. He says, we are so, in the body of Christ today, we've so been taught, and it's accurate, Jesus is the head. Amen? We are the body, right? We almost get to thinking, though, like all the decisions, I mean, everything, all the thinking, everything is completely removed, and we're like the body of Christ is like a decapitated head around on the earth, and we're just being moved or something by the Holy Ghost. And he says, let me ask you a question. He says, the mouth, just the literal mouth of anybody, is that a part of the body? It's a part of the body, right? Okay, so in the same way that we have feet, we got legs, we got arms, we got a neck, we got a head. If we're the body of Christ, the body of Christ is not decapitated. Now, Jesus is the head in the sense that He's in charge. All the instructions come from Him by the Holy Ghost. He is Lord over all. Amen. Okay? But Paul, even talking about the body of Christ, mentioned the head a lot. He says, what if all were the seeing and there were no ears? What if there was all the nose? Talking about the head. Well, let me ask you this. What about the mouth? Where's the mouth of the body? Where's the mouth of Christ on the earth today? It's us. That's why that verse means so much to me in Psalms, where it says, the angels hearken unto the voice of the Word of God. If you're not giving the Word of God voice in your life, your angels are on vacation. Their whole job is to manifest the Word in your life. But if they don't ever hear the voice of the Word coming out of your mouth, they got nothing to do. All right, now so now the sick people come, and they're trying to find that same centurion. He's trying to find, modern day, trying to find the mouth of Christ that will speak the word only. And he comes to one. I'll pick on Louis. He's got big shoulders. Come to Louis and say, my daughter's sick. Could you speak the word only? Well, how sick is she? Well, it's really bad. I mean, she's got this high fever, 108 fever, and everything. Well, you know, at most places, most churches that he'd go to. Now, Louis wouldn't, you know. But most churches, most traditional churches, they'd pray something. Here's what the mouth of Christ supposedly would say to them. Oh, Lord, prepare these hearts for the loss that they're about to suffer. And they'd be. And the sad part is, they're sincere. That's the scary part. They honest to God think, that's the covenant that they have. That's their covenant of promise. Just comfort. God can't do anything. It's really bad sickness. Have you paid for? You better make arrangements and get your affairs in order. And oh Lord, send comfort and everything. Does that sound like the mouth of Christ? Does that sound like speak the word only to you? What did Jesus say? Where is she? I will come and heal her. Hallelujah. You say, yes, centurion, your daughter can be healed. Have you heard about the covenants of promise? Hallelujah. By the stripes of Jesus, she's already healed. All we got to do is go over there and just speak the word only, lay hands on the sick, and she shall recover. Now he's hearing some word only, right? Okay, to make that point. Y'all got that? Tammy learned, if you can't speak the word only, don't speak anything at all. Because she'd already established her course with her words. I'd heard her for weeks. Now when it really hit, at least she knew. Don't change the confession. We just won't say anything. And I'm not saying you're 100% perfect. I don't know what happened at home. But you did good here. You did good here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God and sons is in the business of establishing the will of the Father on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It is the Father's will to establish His covenant with as many people on the earth as possible. He is only able to do that through the body of Christ. Now, here's something I don't know if you've ever thought about. It meets the need of the Father. Do y'all ever think about God the Father having a need? Think about this. It meets the need of the Father in establishing His covenant on the earth when you learn to partake of the covenants of promise. He gets his need met by meeting your needs. If you are serving him by using the overflow to establish his covenant in the earth to other people. That's real wordy and I don't like it, so let me use it this way. Okay. During the battle time, when Sue and I were trying to learn how to operate in these financial covenants of promise, okay, and for those that have heard our testimony, it was a real battle. Now, what if I'd have caved in and gone bankrupt, which that's what the devil was trying to get me to do, and we'd have moved into some kind of shack over there on the warehouse land and no Bible study. When God's purpose for us right now is to be teaching this Bible study, okay? And to have money to pay the lights and to have money to bake cookies and pies and whatever else needs to be done and buy paper and tapes and anything else. What I'm saying is, right now, Sue and I are endeavoring to meet the Father's desire to hold Thursday night Bible study in this home every Thursday night. By me walking the floor and confessing the covenants of promise like he told me, praying in other tongues, calling those things that be not as though they were, he was able to meet our needs so that his desire to have this Bible study can be done. Have you ever thought about, Nathan, about serving the Lord by confessing the Word? Let's go back to Reinhard Bonnke for a minute. Let's say your desire was to believe in $10,000 to sow into that. Do you all think God is able to even accumulate $10,000? Boy, it's quiet in here now.
Yes.
5,000. Is that a big step for God? $10,000? That's right. See, but in the natural, we know that, don't we? But then, where is it? I want to give $10,000 to Reinhard Bonnke, Lord. Now, if we start walking the floor and confessing the Word with the express purpose of receiving $10,000 for sowing into that ministry, would you call that serving the Lord?
Yeah.
You think that project is of God? I do. I sure do. I think 70,000 souls in Britain's a good deal. You know? And I don't know how many he's going to get in the United States and Canada, but I'd like to sow $10,000 into that thing. Now, what if I started? I've got a lot of seed in the ground. I've been a tither and a giver for a long time. I start walking the floor. Say, Lord, I thank you that you still have the anointing of increase, that you've not forgotten how to multiply seed sown, just like you multiplied the loaves and the fishes and fed the 10,000. Lord, you are able to multiply my seed sown. I just thank you and praise you, Father, that you heard me when I prayed, that I received $10,000 above and beyond our own needs to sow into that ministry. I thank you, Father, and I praise you that even now the Holy Spirit is breathing on my seed. All of that seed we've got out there sown into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Holy Spirit, breathe on my seed. I speak life into all that seed. Grow 30, 60, and 100 fold. Angels go out and reap the harvest as it comes to maturity and bring it in that we may sow into that project of God. And you hear me walking the floor and doing that, and nothing changes the first day. And you hear me walking the floor and doing that, and nothing changes the second day. And I don't know how long it would take, but you just keep walking the floor, but then one day the 10,000 comes. And you do it. You purged enough to do it. Send the 10,000. Most people have a real battle right there. Ah, I got the 10,000. Oh, man, sure would like to have a new Intrepid. Which, you know, I'd make a down payment. But, you know, no, but they're purged enough to go ahead and give it. Now, did you serve God by confessing the Word?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. See, it's in God's... Okay, let me put it this way. It's in the kingdom... It's in God and Son's incorporated best interest for you to be wealthy. If you're purged enough to serve Him with that wealth. Because He's interested in taking that wealth and establishing His covenant in the earth. He wants more people born again. He wants more people healed. He probably wants a Thursday night Bible study in every neighborhood in this city. You see what I'm saying? Okay? And he needs the message to get out. We are actually serving Him to get the desire of His heart, which is that none perish from either being lost either dying by sickness or even financial bankruptcy or suicide from mental pressures and things like that. He desires that none should be lost. So I'm using the word desire because it's just hard to say God has a need. But God would like His desire met. Okay? And we serve Him when we learn how to literally walk in these covenants of promise. It's hard to go preach if you're, you know, it's, let me put it this way. If you're on your deathbed 10 minutes away from dying of cancer, it's hard for God to use you to go street witnessing. Is that plain enough? He needs you well. Well, you know, God just intended for me to be joyful and to give Him glory while I'm suffering this sickness. You know, I mean, you know, it, you know, I'm not going to believe God to be healed because other people get blessed when they understand that I'm giving Him glory and that I'm praising Him no matter what, even in, you know, for this cancer, you know, and that's how I'm serving Him. BS. I mean, really, that is so bad. That I'm sorry. It deserves worse than that. It deserves worse than it. Raka, yeah. Let me ask you, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, did you ever hear of Jesus going, no, I want you to keep this sickness on you? And do you just praise the Lord for it and let others see how well you bear up under it, and that's what I want you to do? Did you ever see Jesus do anything like that?
Put something on somebody like that?
No, but you sure hear a lot of preachers preach that way. And you sure hear a lot of people that's been taught by those preachers talk that way. And most of them die. And they think they're giving glory to God. God does not bless ignorance. The Holy Spirit told me a long time ago, whatever does not look like Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is not Jesus. So when you get some preacher telling you junk like that, run your little Rolodex, your little internal scriptural Rolodex, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's see now. Did Jesus ever tell anybody to keep their sickness so that they could praise God to the end? Did He ever? And you know right then, that's false doctrine. Because Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. I like to say it like this. Say it after me. Jesus is the will of God. In action. If you want to know what the Father's like, see what Jesus did. Simple. Simple. Again, that wayfaring fool can't err from that. That's simple, isn't it? All right. Hallelujah. Now, real quickly, for those that are regulars here, you know, now I'm going to say in closing. Y'all want to tell them what that means?
Nothing.
Nothing at all. Okay. Hallelujah. I picked this one from the Old Testament, Psalms 103, verses 2 through 5, because to be honest with you, see, we have better, we're under a better covenant established upon better promises, and to be quite honest with you, most of the church today is not even living up to the old promises. This is Psalms. This is under the old covenant. And listen to this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Now get this. Most Christians don't even know this. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Look at this. Old covenant now. Old covenant. Who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction. That means when trouble comes, He gets you out of it. Is that plain enough? Who crowneth thee with slimy dog worm thinking. No. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness. Is that what the devil was telling you that day when you got turned down for your loan? The devil? I mean, were you thinking all that day? Oh, the loving kindness and tender mercies of the Lord is upon me. Is that what the devil was shouting in your ear?
No. He was telling me all kinds of... I felt heartsick, and I felt like, What have I done? God's not blessing me. I'm doing something wrong.
Right.
I've got sin on my life. What am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? You know?
That's all the devil. See, because it's not based on that. It's based on the righteousness of Jesus. It's based on Him, see. Okay. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. I love this. Who satisfies thy mouth. In Isaiah, God says, I create the fruit of the lips. Everyone touch your lips like this. Touch your lips. Is that real? Okay. To create the fruit of the lips, wouldn't you have to say something? Huh? Everyone think right now. Just think this. I am blessed. Don't say it. Just think it. Just think this. Is this man bothering you? I'll have him removed. All right. Now just think this. Don't say it. Think, I am blessed. Did your lips have anything to do with that? Nothing at all. See, that when it says, I create the fruit of the lips. Now this time say, I am blessed. That's the stuff that God creates. What comes out your lips. Now lips is on your mouth. Boy, I bet you're glad you came tonight. Deep stuff. Your lips is on your mouth. Okay? And if you're not lipping it and mouthing it, He ain't got nothing to create for you. This wishful thinking stuff isn't going to get it. You don't ever find that anywhere in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible. Faith speaks. I like the way Norval puts it. If you're not speaking, you're not even into faith yet. You're kidding yourself. You old flaky, spiritual, lazy thing, you. Oh, sorry. Hallelujah. Now, y'all, that's the old covenant. Let's see. Total forgiveness. Health from all the diseases. Who delivers you from every trouble that you ever get into, redeems your life from destruction. This is old covenant. And crowns you every day with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth, what you say, with good things, and He even renews your youth like the eagles.
Cool.
Old covenant. Old covenant. Dear God. We're not even living up to that. And ours says we're in a new covenant which is established upon better promises. Say, well, what could be better than that? That'd pretty well solve my problems right there. How about this? Those that believe, they shall cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. How'd y'all like some of that? How'd you like some of that? How'd you like some of that wisdom of Solomon, where your house is so prosperous, you don't even count the silver anymore. You just kind of put that to the side. You know, and all we keep track of is the gold. And God uses you so much in the gospel entrepreneurship type thing, you just finance revivals to Japan and everywhere else. Better covenant. Better covenant. Established upon better promises. Glory to God. We're supposed to be living way beyond this. Way beyond this. I like the way that my friend Les Lawrence put this one time. I'd never heard anybody else say it. He said, you notice that word benefits? He says, now, where I work, I know when they start taking away my benefits. When I think about it, you know, for the last 10 years in the United States, all these big companies have been downsizing, you know. And when I was working at Crane Carrier, it was going through there too. First thing they did, they come through and changed our retirement plan, you know. And they took away some of our benefits. And I could tell it. Then they come through and they changed our health plan. And where I was paying a certain amount, all of a sudden I'm paying four times that amount. They took away, and plus it didn't cover as much. They took away some of my benefits, right? Now when the devil starts coming and trying to put disease on you, even from the old covenant, he's trying to take away your benefits. You say, no, I work for the Lord Most High. Everyone say again, I work
for
the richest Jew,
there ever was.
He gives good benefits. And
nobody's taking mine away.
Isn't that good stuff?
Good stuff?
All of a sudden you can't pay your light bill. Sonny, somebody's messing with your benefits.
That's right.
Somebody's messing with your benefits now. It's an intruder. Speak the word only. Speak the word only. Get your covenants of promise out. This is not a wishful thinking. This is a covenant. The God who cannot lie spoke it, and it's signed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What more do you want? God says, at least they shouldn't have any trouble thinking I'm not a liar. That's really all they got to do. Just know I'm not a liar. Isn't that good stuff? Hallelujah. All right. Now, you need to understand this. Every time I used to study the blood covenant, and I've heard a lot of good teaching on the blood covenant, but for me personally, I lost it at a certain point. Because they would always talk about two tribes in Africa, you know, and one tribe would form a blood covenant with another tribe, you know, and it was a total commitment. Like if one guy didn't live up to his part, the other tribe, that, you know, it was legal for them to go hunt him down and kill him, even to the fourth generation. And that's all true. See, but so my concept of the covenant, though, was always horizontal, like one tribe to another tribe, or like one king to another king. So as long as I thought that way, I kept messing up because I'd screw up, and I figure I blew my part of the covenant. You understand what I'm saying? And then one day God got it through to me, and it's through these verses right here. This is not a horizontal covenant. It's a vertical covenant. This covenant is not between two equal kings, each serving the interests of their own kingdom. There's only one kingdom that we're in. Y'all know that? There's only one king. This covenant is between Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Father. We can't break it. Got too quiet. You didn't get it. Sandra, it is absolutely impossible if you go out, no matter what you do, you will never be able to end that covenant. You may get yourself out of it for a little while. You can get yourself out of it, but you cannot break it because it's not between you and God. It's between Jesus and God, the Father, I mean. And the only way we get in on it is to be in Him. You see? You see what I'm saying? In other words, it's the blood that got you in. It's the blood that got you in, and it's the blood that keeps you in. Just like that example with Sean, I don't care if he did blow it yesterday. The Father's mercies are new every morning, and the blood's still there. So you may have got yourself out, but you didn't break that. You did not annul or do away with that covenant, because that covenant, the only way that covenant can be broken is if Jesus sins. What do y'all think the chances are of that? I want to, you know, when no hands are going up. See, this covenant is between God the Father, and it was made to Abraham and his seed, singular, Christ, which I've got those verses on here, I believe. There it is, Galatians 3:16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Now here's the good part, though. If ye be Christ's, Betty, and you are, then you are Abraham's seed, and heir, and that means joint heir, according to the promise. Hallelujah. And you can't break the covenant. You might get yourself out of it for a few minutes, but as soon as you realize what you did and repent, the blood cleanses you, you're right back in. But you can never stop that covenant because it's between God the Father and Abraham's seed, which is Christ. So if you're in Christ, that means in fellowship with Him. Honey, the covenants of promise are yours. That's good preaching. Hallelujah. And I don't care what the devil says about it either. Actions. You know, I'm starting to notice a pattern on these action pages. Worship the Lord. Well, I don't know what else to tell you. These things work. And this is what it takes. It's going to take a personal relationship between you and God. One, worship the Lord daily. Surrender to His will for your life. Paul said, I die daily. And it's the attitude of not my will, but thine be done. You know the reason why most of us are still not completely surrendering, selling out to God? We're still afraid of what He might do to us. Still, there's a little bit of fear there. See? Well, He might send me to Africa. If He really does, if that's really His plan, by the time He trains you by the Holy Spirit, by the time that time would come, it will be the desire of your heart. It would be the thing that you were created for. Nothing else on earth would please you except going to Africa if you submit to His will. You see what I'm saying? And when you get there, you're thinking He's sending you over there to go naked through the trees preaching or something, and He's planning on you running the largest gold mine in Kenya. You'd say, gee, that's not so bad. That's not so bad after all, see? See what I'm saying? Two, this is an instruction the Lord gave Sue and I years ago. He says, just tell me often, I love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I should have put a quote mark there. That's the end of it. He told us to do that. He says, do it several times a day. Just tell me, I love you, Father, with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. And a little while later, when you think of it, oh, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, all of my soul, all of my mind, and all of my strength. Y'all know that eventually you have what you say. You're activating a law of the Spirit when you do that. And even though right now you may think, you know, I love you, son, but but I don't really trust you where you're going to, you know. But you're activating a law of the Spirit there. And you do that, you will eventually have what you say. And that day will come. But there's another thing you can do too. Pray much. Oh, okay. Tell the Lord often, I love you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, now perfect love casts out fear. I should have left that out. The more that you love, the more that your love toward Him is perfected, the more you'll understand that you have absolutely nothing to fear from Him. God is love. Hallelujah. Pray much in the Spirit, other tongues. Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He reveals your Father's heart to you. And to give you scripture for that, there's Jude 1:20 and 21. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, you can't go to days very long and not know that verse, right, men? Okay? But I look at the rest of it. Keep yourselves. Notice there's a comma at the end of verse 20. He's not through talking yet. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Well, doing what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Why? Because the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. He's the one that teaches you about Jesus. And the more you see Jesus, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the more you understand Jesus, the more you understand the Father. And the more, I guarantee you, the more you really understand the Father, the more you're going to love Him. And the more you're going to trust Him. And then looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have coffee. We have, I think Sue made all kinds of cakes and stuff. And if you go away hungry, it's your own fault. And you had a question. I'm sorry. I probably lost it by now.